Yeah. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show, LE2B, Last Exit of Brooklyn. My name's Tom McCaffrey.
I was going to let that whole song play, but I realized it would just be like a Martin Scorsese movie.
Yeah, that's... I think people would have been fine with just hearing that.
I think he used it in like every one of his movies. That's Give Me Shelter from the Rolling Stones, by the way.
Yeah, I'm trying to... I'm trying to think of the first time he used it. I actually think it might have been Goodfellas.
I think you might be right. But I've noticed that he's used it in some other movie. I think he would use it in The Departed also.
Yeah, he does. He used it in Casino, definitely. Yeah. I think good, but he does use it in Goodfellas, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's such a great song.
Yeah, it's a really good.
We played it because.
In honor of. Charlie Watts, the drummer, died.
Yeah, the guy no one knows.
Well, you know, I think he was a drummer from like the beginning.
Yeah, he was 80. But every time someone on the Rolling Stones dies, I'm like, how does Keith Richards outlive them all?
I mean, you know, he must just have like great genes or something. I think some people just have, some people's genes are just, their constitution is just different from other people. Like, I mean, oddly, I do think, when Charlie Sheen did that whole thing where he was like, I have tiger blood. I do think that there was something. Charlie Sheen did seem to have some kind of, I don't know, like he could recuperate from things. Cause I mean, that guy should have been dead so many times.
Yeah. I mean, I think he survived AIDS pretty well too.
Yeah, like that. I mean, it's just like, so like, and then you hear about, I don't know. I was listening to something about that guy, Len Bias. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. Jesus
Christ.
He's
like
Christ.
The basketball player. And he was supposed to be this, like, the next Michael Jordan. He died. He did cocaine one night. He died. I mean, there's this like 18-year-old, prime in his prime athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck?
I mean, the story is that he did cocaine once. That's the story they always went with, that he only did it once, which is probably true.
Actually, I remember hearing that. I don't think that's true. I listened to a thing about it and they kind of talked to his friends and I think it was painted that way, but I don't think, I don't know that he was like a cokehead or anything.
No, but I mean, the cocaine shouldn't kill you unless, I mean, in my life, I've done cocaine that has been really incredibly strong, and your heart is really beating hard and stuff, and it does,
And it didn't scare you?
It scared the shit out of me,
Do you think immediately of Len Bias?
No, you just kind of freak out. It's just most of the cocaine
fun.
Most of the cocaine you do, I think most of the time is cut with so much garbage that it's really not that potent. But I've talked to people who like have done it in other countries and like Colombia and stuff, and the shit is like pure, and it can really hit you hard.
It always like scared me. That drug did scare. Maybe I bought into that whole campaign in the 80s that they were always spewing out at people. Yeah, that, and just I just always heard bad things about, young, and then Belushi and all. I felt like it seemed scary to me. It wasn't
Yeah. Well, it's funny how they lumped it in with all the other drugs. They're like, it's definitely worse than fucking marijuana, but they're like, if you smoke marijuana, you'll be like a cokehead, the next day, which is not true.
Yeah, no, that's, you'll be maybe a pothead.
Yeah.
You'll be fat. If he's 80, he probably just died from, just being alive.
Right. And when you're 80, you die of being 80, It's like,
yeah, exactly. And also he probably, I don't know, but I mean, if you're a rock star your whole life, that's probably gonna take its toll on you. But Keith Richards, I mean, he's probably about that age, right?
Yeah. I think he's a little younger, but I was reading about Charlie Watts, you think about how that this guy's lived through. Like, he was born in, I think, 41, and when he was born, the Germans were bombing London, and that's
really?
When he was born. Yeah. In fact, I went to Liverpool years ago, and I think Ringo is the oldest Beatle, I think. And they showed his like place where he lived, but it was all bombed out. And they're like, oh, when he was born here, and they were the Germans were dropping bombs on London, or at the time, or wherever in England. And this was his home, but it was destroyed.
While he was like, after he was, right after he was born? Or
yeah, like they would just like, they would hide in the basement or whatever. I heard someone told me recently that, that's gone, that they got rid of it. But this was like 10 years ago or something. It was still there. It was like, it was kind of cool to see him. Like, not only was Ringo born there, but Nazis were bombing the place. I mean,
wow,
that's a lot. That's a whole lot of history.
Yeah. When you think about things like that, like so many factors could have just, you know, affected history. There would maybe be no Beatles. It is weird when you hear
there still would have been like, Beatles without Ringo. Come on. Let's be honest.
Yeah. No Beatles. Ringo, forget it. There would have been, I mean, with no Ringo, there would have been good Beatles. No, just kidding. Like, I guess
it would have been no Octopus's Garden.
I literally made a statement no one's ever said, like, oh, no Ringo. Yeah, he's literally the one they could have done without. Yeah. I mean, why am I being so hard on Ringo? He's fine. But yeah.
No, but he's not, he didn't write all the good songs. But you know, he was the cool, he was kind of like the coolest Beatle in a way, because he didn't, I think he just kind of knew his place and didn't give a fuck, you know?
Yeah, and he I guess so, yeah. And he kind of had an acting career for a minute.
Yeah, he caveman. Tried to.
Yeah, I guess that was it. I guess that was did you see that?
I think I remember in the 80s seeing a lot on cable, and I think I liked it because there was like quasi nudity in it.
Yeah, I saw it like in the theater. I was probably like 8. It was, and I like didn't like it even then. Like,
no, I think it was
really weird.
I think it's trying to be like a Mel Brooks type Monty Python thing. It just missed the mark. But
I tried to rewatch it recently and I was like, oh yeah, this is bad.
Yeah, I think I remember it being bad watching it as a kid. Usually that's not the case.
Yeah, I was really young. And I remember seeing the credits, they kept being like, you know, Ringo Starr. And I was like, why do they, and it's R with two R's, and I thought they were saying like he was starring in the movie. And I was like, who's this Ringo guy? They just keep saying Ringo Starr, like he's the star of the movie, and they're like spelling it wrong. And then
he was the Beatle?
No, I did. I mean, I was like 8 years old. I think I knew the Beatles were. I just didn't know like who Ringo was at that point. You know, I probably did. Like, I think I finally figured it out, like maybe late, probably that year. But
yeah, I mean, I knew the Beatles so young because my parents are so into them, you know, and they had all the albums and stuff and I would play them. And, you know, they didn't like the Rolling Stones as much, but you know, Rolling Stones, I mean, I guess the Beatles are better than Rolling Stones, but Rolling Stones.
I don't know. I know that that's like the big debate. I don't know. I go up and down. I kind of like the Rolling Stones. I think that I might like them better because I feel like the Beatles are really good, but they also had a lot of songs I just don't like.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like the Rolling Stones were kind of a little more rocking and they've like stayed, like they've kept going. You know what I mean?
I know. And you know what? They stayed pretty cool. And I think they were planning the tour next year. I thought I read that, but it's just weird to, you almost kind of see, you know, I think if the Beatles never, Lennon never died, they definitely would have gotten back together. There's no doubt.
Yeah, probably. And I, you know, it's funny. I just remembered. I saw, you know, that documentary, Gimme Shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that? It's about like the Altamont concert.
Right. That's the song we just played.
Yeah. Yeah. I should have thought of it then, but cause I watched it like 2 weeks ago. Cause Altamont is basically this concert they put on in San Francisco. And it was like this weird where they had the Hell's Angels as security.
Right. Yeah.
And then like some guy got killed by the Hell's Angels, right? They were kind of like roughing everyone up. There was like a bad energy to it.
It was a Woodstock 99 and 69. I think in that Woodstock 99 thing, they compared it a little bit to that.
Yeah. But it's weird. It's oddly boring. You know, there's not much to it. It's kind of, I think, because it just started as like a concert film and then someone got killed.
Didn't Scorsese direct that one too?
He should have.
No, I'm not joking.
No. It was at the time.
Oh,
he did a thing years later. I forgot what it was about them. I thought he did something about the Beatles, actually.
No, he did something with the Rolling Stones. I know that. He did something about George Harrison.
He definitely didn't do this, because if he had done this, it would have been better. Because it's like, they made it like a lot of it's like them in the editing room, like the, Mick Jagger and the Stones in the editing room watching the footage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's just like, I mean, I don't want to watch. You're just watching Rolling Stones watch footage in the editing room. It's just kind of like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's just it's not very well made.
I think Shine a Light was the name of the film. I think it was just about their concert. That's what Scorsese directed. Yeah, yeah.
Didn't he do something with George Harrison too about his whole like?
Yeah, All Things Must Pass. Yeah. Yeah.
But so I don't know. Yeah, I am a fan of theirs, but I never saw them live. And
no, they, yeah. Who, the Stones?
Yeah, the Stones, which is, I should have seen them live. I don't know why I mean, because they were playing like up to recently, right?
Yeah, it's just always now. It's like the time to go is years ago, because right now, Rolling Stones concerts are probably fucking so expensive.
Yeah, I'm actually seeing Elton John in like a few months.
Oh, that's a good concert. I used to see him a lot.
Yeah, I've never seen him. I was like, I think this is it. This is his last tour.
I know. He said this is his like final tour, but it's going on for 3 years, you know?
Well, I know it got postponed because of COVID.
Oh, right, right.
But so that's one thing. And then, so here's another thing. We were... I read about this today. The kid from like the baby from the Nirvana album cover, Nevermind, who's like naked chasing the dollar bill, is suing, I guess, Kurt Cobain's estate and the band for like sexually exploiting him as a child.
Yeah, I think it's more. I mean, is that a photo or a painting? I was
no,
that
it's
was
definitely
a
photo. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, obviously. When you see these lawsuits happen like 30 years later, you kind of wonder like is it the money grab at this
point?
Well,
is it ironic too that the picture is of a baby chasing money? Because it's like money on a fish, a hook, and he's kind of like chasing it. So that's kind of exactly what he's doing now. He's kind of like going after money.
When it takes 30 years for you to decide that happened,
yeah, and what is the problem? Is it like, is he like losing jobs? Are people recognizing him on the street? You know,
I heard something.
Or like girls when he's having sex with them, they recognize his penis from the.
Yeah. Oh, in 2007, he said he feels like the world's biggest porn star, but like. I think people know that his penis doesn't look like that anymore.
Also, do you know his name? I mean, I know you're going to read it from the thing, but before this, did you know his name?
No.
So how is he the world's biggest porn star?
Spencer Eldon.
I will say that would be mortifying, though. Imagine like you are like photographed, you know, full frontal nudity when you're like a kid. That's like embarrassing enough when there's a picture of you in like your photo album at home.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then the picture is on something public, but it's the biggest, most iconic, like one of the most iconic albums in the world. And you just have to see that image, like your dick everywhere. I mean, that would be mortifying.
Well, I see he's seeking $150,000 in damages from each of the defendants. That's, I don't know how many. So maybe there's like 5 or 10 people he's suing. That's not too much money. I think this guy didn't overshoot. I think he just wants some money. And, you know, he gets like $1 million or two. I think the Kurt Cobain estate can fucking manage to, and the Foo Fighters guy can manage to pay this guy.
I wonder if they will, though. I feel like they might just be like, fuck this. It's like more like a principal. I mean, what about his parents? I mean, they're the ones who like let their baby, you know, kind of like pimped out their baby. If you had a baby, would you, and if they were like, hey, can we photograph a nude for this album? Would you do it?
No, but. Unless I don't know what money they might have given them money, but that doesn't mean anything because, you know, they're just kind of exploiting the kid. It seems like with these numbers, you know, sometimes these guys are like, I'm suing for $20 billion. Like,
right.
It seems like what he's suing for is like, just fucking pay him.
I bet you he'll get like $250,000.
Yeah.
Which is like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good for a photo shoot as a baby. But yeah, that would be like crazy. Because I even remember thinking that when I saw that album cover. I was like, why do they need to show his dick? You know, like it just kind of like.
I think there were some places that kind of didn't. There was a pic. I think there was a picture without the dick.
There was. Where
it was blurry. Like in Walmart, they wouldn't sell it with the dick.
So yeah. They
blotched it out. I kind of remember that because I never really noticed the dick. I just was like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, the one thing that's sad about this whole thing is that, like me and you remember, like you used to really remember album covers. And now that no one really buys albums anymore, you don't really know what the album cover looks like.
Yeah, that's, you know, Iron Maiden, you remember them?
Oh, that was a great album cover.
That's like all I knew of them. Mm-hmm. Like they were like just known for their album covers. And then I went to see them at concert like 2 or 3 years ago. Like someone had an extra ticket and I went, I didn't know one fucking song.
No, I think I knew one of their songs and that was it.
And I was like, wait a minute, but I know so many of their album covers because people would wear like shirts with, but yeah, it's like, what are the most iconic ones you have of like all time?
I looked this up today actually, because Sergeant Pepper, obviously.
Yeah.
That's the most iconic. There's some Rolling Stones ones. They had Sticky Fingers. That's the one.
With like the scratch.
What?
Where it's like a close up of like the crotch.
It's like jeans. And yeah. I think you can unzip the jeans on the album.
Like on that.
Yeah, the original ones, you could unzip it. Because I remember this.
And what would happen? Like a dick would come out?
No, I don't think anything. You just zipped it and unzipped it.
That
I think.
Kid from Nirvana's dick would come out?
But yeah, that was the thing. Because I remember my parents had the original Sgt. Pepper's album. And it had like fucking cutouts and little things. They used to make this shit so elaborate.
I remember the Rolling Stones did another album they had called Undercover, and they had like a nude chick, but it had like stickers covering the genital, you know, the private parts. Yes, and it was like, yes. It looked like you could take them off if you bought the album.
Yeah, it really, I mean, I guess maybe that's why vinyl's making a little comeback. I don't know what the album covers look like now, but there were some ones I was looking up. They had the Led Zeppelin one where it was a Zeppelin, the Hindenburg crashing. I think that was,
yeah. I don't know which one that is, but Houses of the Holy. It's actually, that's another like child porn one where it's just a bunch of like kids naked. And then I don't know, Thriller was like a pretty iconic one. Yeah. License to Ill.
Yeah, they actually picked another. I saw a list of all time best ones, and they picked another Beastie Boys one, which is another good one. That's
Paul's Boutique.
Maybe it was licensed. Was there another one? I feel like there was another one.
Check Your Head. Oh, Hello Nasty, maybe?
Maybe. Well,
But I think License to Ill is their most iconic. It's one.
Yeah, it might have been License to Ill. If I told you Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, that's a big. Could I tell you the triangle with the light going through and like the rainbow? The Wall.
The Wall, yeah. The Wall is just like, you know, you see that everywhere.
Yeah, test me if I can see if I would, what I would.
Yeah, I'm looking for some older ones because those are, they have some. I'm looking some up now that have newer ones. Like no one cares anymore about this stuff. So
I know what do they even like? I mean,
they literally have one from Lizzo from 2019. It's a cool one, but it's not iconic because people just don't look at this stuff anymore.
Yeah, like what about
I got one. You all right?
But.
What does Bruce Springsteen Born in the USA look like? What's that one look like?
It's just like his ass with like a hat in it. Is that it?
That's it.
Is it a hat?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty iconic, that one.
Yeah. Abbey Road. You know.
Yeah, that, of course. Yeah. They're just walking on the street. This is one. This is just on some 50 best album covers list. Duran Duran Rio. Do you know that one?
Yeah, it's like a cartoon of like a girl with her face painted or something.
Yeah, I think there's this artist. His name is Patrick Nagel, and he was very popular in the 80s, and they had him do the album cover.
Okay, yeah. I don't know that that's like, I do remember that. I mean, but yeah. The thing is also like when we, back in the 80s, like they were pushed in your face everywhere, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like this is what you saw when you went into the record store. Illmatic, do you know what that cover is for Nas?
No, that one. Good.
It's kind
one.
Of an iconic one. It's like the projects, and then his face is like a 10-year-old, like kind of you know, placed over it, kind of, but you can kind of see through his face.
Oh, okay.
And he has like a frown. It's kind of, it's a really iconic one, but it's very also iconic because like he's like 10 years old and he looks like pissed off and he's like, you know, in front of the project.
Well, I got one for you. All right, let's see. Let's play this game. This seems to be fun. The album's Notorious B.I.G. Ready to Die.
It's him holding a cane in front of like a hearse.
No, it has a. It's a picture.
Oh, it's
of
a baby.
Yeah, the baby. Was there?
Oh,
two?
I'm thinking of Life After Death.
Oh, okay.
What about
They have the number one is the Velvet Underground and Nico, which is just because Andy Warhol did it. It was a banana.
N.W.A. Straight Outta Compton.
Which one? Yeah, I know. I kind of know that one. What's that one?
It's just the camera's like looking up at them, and they're all like looking down. Surrounded. Oh, yeah. And like one of them's aiming a gun. It looks like you're kind of like on the ground, like surrounded by them. It's like almost like you're a victim.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is, because it's like, what the fuck is this? Like, I remember seeing that and I was like, these guys are gonna murder me. Eazy-E is pointing a gun down at the camera.
Which one is that one again?
Straight Outta Compton. That was their first one. I don't, you know, and let's see.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lost art. It's just what's sad about it, you know. I read that, you know, that Phil Hartman did that. Do you ever hear that story?
That he designed album covers
before he was like on Saturday Night Live. He designed.
That sounds about right, because he made it late. No, because he was like struggling. He didn't make it until he was like 40.
Yeah, but it's just so funny how someone can just get famous for like two different things. Yeah, he did some.
Do you
America.
Know what the Clash London Calling, but they're
yeah, that was on there on this list. That's a good one.
With him like breaking the guitar. The Chronic, do you know what that one is?
That's just a weed thing, right?
No, it's like a picture of Dr. Dre, like almost kind of in this like mirror design or something.
There's no weed on that cover?
I think on the back oh, cover there okay. is. It's like this yeah. weird thing. It's like just a picture of him and like a thing. It looks like a mirror. And Snoop Dogg, Doggy Style. Do you know what that one is?
Oh yeah, that was the one that got. I think people got pissed up off about. Right? He's like, it's like a cartoon. He's spanking someone or something.
He's like on top of a doghouse, and then like it, but it's him as like a dog, and then there's like a dog's. Ass sticking out, and he's like grabbing the tail. I mean, it's, you know, that's what's so funny. It's like there used to be a time where like people would like, you know, there'd be uproars about album covers.
Yeah.
You know, like what is, you know, people would like have like press conferences.
I kind of remember that being some sort of uproar about the Nirvana one.
Yeah, I don't really remember that. Probably, but yeah, I don't know.
I didn't think they went after the white artists as much.
I was going to say, yeah.
The black artists didn't.
I think Ozzy Osbourne got shit too for some of the, like a lot of the heavy metal people would get shit.
Yeah.
I think Iron Maiden got crap for, because theirs were like really violent. There was like a character, skeleton character that would always
they were fucking cool though. Those were cool.
They were like really like, they were like, holy shit.
Yeah, they were just not. As a band, they were not as good as their fucking album covers.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, that was what was weird about them. They sucked. Yeah. But I mean, everyone, when I went to see them, it was packed with like all these weirdos who loved them. You know what I mean? I was like, these people knew every song. And I don't know.
I remember one song was called Run for the Hills.
That was the only one I knew. Yeah.
Yeah. But they were
That's
just
what
like...
I did when they started playing. Were they inspired to write that at one of their concerts? Yeah, they were. I don't know. They were very select. Yeah, it was weird. I was surprised I didn't like them.
I just remember it was also a thing. I don't know if it is. It still may be a thing, but like, because albums, I don't think are much of a thing anymore. Like the name of an album, they go, "Oh, this is the person's new album. It's called this," and you'd be like, "Wow!" Even the name would be like kind of like a big thing. You know?
Can you think of any like?
I can't. It would be just a band that you would like, and then
the
name of the next album is this.
Yeah, actually, the name of the album would be like a thing you knew.
Yeah. Oh, you know the that Van Halen album, 1984. Do you know that one?
Yeah, that's the baby smoking cigarette.
Yeah, that's been on. That's a great album cover.
That is, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that was like it was a big deal. And then like there would be times where like sometimes the albums would come with, you know, when you bought a tape, it would come with the lyrics in the thing that you folded out. That was like always like a weird, cool thing. Or you folded it out and there were a lot of like pictures. I remember the Beasties did that a lot.
Yeah, because you remember before the internet, like you couldn't find the lyrics to songs.
I know.
There was no way to find it.
I know. It was like, that's all we had. So like, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I know like everyone's kind of realizing it now, but the internet kind of blows. I mean, cause I'm sort of just like, I don't know. I miss those days of like, just not knowing things ever. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like you'd be
and then when you figured it out, you kind of felt kind of cool about it, you know?
Yeah. Like I wonder, remember that, like there, I remember the Fast Times at Ridgemont High, there were some lines that I didn't know what they were saying. And like, I was like, man, I wonder what they're saying. And it was just like, I don't know. I guess I'll just never know that. Cause like you would play and you couldn't hear what he was saying. I remember I had a bet with someone and we couldn't figure it out. We couldn't settle the bet. So
Now you could just put on the fucking cap.
That's happened subtitles. To me so many times. Actually, for that movie, there was a line that for years I had no clue what he was saying. And then I put the subtitles on. I was like, oh, that's what he's fucking saying.
Well, what was the line?
It's like in the beginning, Spicoli, you know, Sean Penn and his friends go into like the restaurant that the guy Judge Reinhold works at.
Yeah.
And they take their shirts off and he's like, hey, you know, he's like, no shirts, no. He's like, what does that sign say? I'm like, no shirt, no shoes, no dice. And then he goes, yeah, learn it, live it. And then Sean Penn goes, well, he is the hot orator. And I didn't know he's saying orator. I didn't know what, like, orator, like speaker. But first of all, I always thought he was saying he is the hot orator. And I was always like, what does that mean? And then
is that the line that he says, hot orator?
Yeah. And but it's also like Spicoli knows the word orator. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So, I mean, that doesn't seem. Yeah.
But I mean, I never would have known that line without. I don't know if you do this, but it might be an old thing, but like I watch almost everything with subtitles now. Cause like, yeah, I feel like I miss so many things.
No, I've talked to people who are young who do the same thing. Cause they're like, especially in certain movies, you miss things, you know? And if you watch them at home and it's a new movie, you're watching for 15 minutes and all of a sudden you're like, I don't know what's going on. But then when you have the subtitles, you're like, I get it, you know?
Yeah. And then I realized with subtitles, like there's so many times I had no clue what they're saying. And then it's so easy to zone out and like, like Tenet. There's no way to, even with subtitles, that movie's impossible. Did you see that? Did we talk about that?
Yeah, we did. But I kind of don't want to see it.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of had a week of being into it. It's just, but even with subtitles, it's real, but you can't, unless you're really smart or something. I feel like it's hard for me to like, follow things sometimes, and that is like that's a movie where like one line, if you miss it, it's like you're not going to know what's happening the whole rest of the movie. Like it's like, really, you're giving me one line of explanation for the next hour and a half of what's going to be happening. So yeah,
well, I don't like movies that where you have to work. I can't just
Yeah. So have you been, so movie theaters are open again now. And I just went to one. I hadn't been to one in, I mean, years. I'm not years, a year basically. Or over a year probably. And I saw that movie Stillwater. Have you heard of that?
Yeah. So is that good or what?
It is. It's really good. But did you hear like the controversy about it?
What's the, I heard it got good reviews though.
It did. I know. First of all, like when it came out, I guess Matt Damon, everyone gets mad at him all the time or something.
Oh, because he said he never said the F word.
So like, he got in trouble for that. He was like, basically like, oh, I learned that word is like, not is a bad word. And like, I'll never use it again. And then they were like, you jerk. And then he was like, I never used it. And I was like, didn't you grow up in Boston? Like, I don't think you're even allowed to live in Boston without saying that word. Yeah. Just like a teenager in Boston. Of course you said that fucking word.
And he originally said he used to say it. And then all of a sudden he said he never did, you know, but you can't
That's how it is now. You just had to be like, oh no, I meant I never did anything ever.
Yeah.
I didn't speak as a child.
Well, it's like these, you know, again, this retroactive canceling from things from years ago, which is, that is definite bullshit. Even the guy, the Jeopardy guy, you probably heard that story, right?
Yeah. What did he do?
So
he knows Matt Damon.
Yeah. Basically, he was like the guy who was going to replace Alex Trebek. He was the executive producer. He kind of looks like a game show host. And I think they just went through this whole farce of having this all these guest hosts, you know?
Yeah.
And it was good ratings. And then in the end, they're like, oh, he's like, I'm just going to do it, you know? And I think that was decided even before it was going to happen. But I think it was a big fucking mistake, because what happened was, if he had just taken the job, people would have been annoyed for a day or two and then would have moved on. But then they saw all these other people who some of them were better than this guy.
Yeah.
You know,
and Bialik.
And he's like a white fucking game show host type, like regular. So I think people kind of saw the differences. And then they, you know, then people are out looking to cancel you. So they found some podcasts from 10 years ago.
What did he say?
I keep looking up what he tried to say, and they allude to it, but I have no idea what exactly it was. Nothing. It doesn't seem like anything too bad. But so, you know,
and also, like, yeah, what's the next Matt Damon thing going to be to cancel him? Like, they're going to be like, did you see he murdered all those people in those Bourne movies? Like, yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a funny bit.
Yeah, to like cancel people for like movie rules. But you tried to blow up the earth. Right. That was a character, Thanos. Yeah, I don't know about this. I don't trust this guy. But yeah. Like, I don't know why they keep going after him. Like, but so anyway, that happened. I mean, what was the other thing he said like years ago? He was like, oh, I don't think Louis C.K. I think what he did was different than the other ones. And then that was it for him. And
yeah.
Then,
well, I think everyone realized quickly that you shouldn't chime in on the Louis C.K. thing, you know, especially when it was first happening, because everyone was really raw and everyone was still trying to make the distinction. Hey, this is not rape. But every person who did that was like fucking torn to shreds.
Right. And, I guess, you know, he shouldn't have said it. I mean, he literally said it like that week. And it's just like, I think people were just like, shut up. We need a week of people.
Yeah. I mean, I think no one knew the blowback, so I don't really fault him. But at that point, you just were like, I think after a while, people should have gotten the message. Just fucking don't chime in.
Yeah. He backtracked fast.
Yeah. You don't want to be canceled for something someone else did, you know?
Right. But it's weird why they keep going after him. And he seems like, you know, Bill Maher did this whole thing on it. Like, he does seem like the most like, kind of vanilla, boring, you know, you don't really ever hear anything about him in his life. You know what I mean? Right. You just kind of are like, oh yeah, I guess he, that's why he's good.
I think middle-aged white guys, I mean, they have a history, especially if you're famous, of you can have record of seeing the stuff they did. And if you're a white dude, you know, I don't want to sound like a proud boy or anything, cause I don't, but I feel like that you're a little bit more under the microscope. You know, because you're technically, to a lot of people, you're the problem, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally.
And you have no reason to complain, and you have, and you've, you know, you were running things for a really long time. So it's like you're a target more. So
especially
I do think
him, who like everything worked out from the age of like 24.
Yeah. Went to Harvard. Didn't he go to Harvard?
Yeah, he went to Harvard, and then he won an Oscar. He was like 26. And, you know, I mean, he's, you know, he's good. But I mean, yeah, it's they're already mad about you, you know, running everything. And then you literally are the one running everything.
But that's the thing now. So there's such a reversal that, like, if there's a new premier job opening in entertainment and they give it to a white dude, that person is going to have there's going to be some blowback. There's just going to be blowback. And that's basically this guy that they picked for Jeopardy, or he picked himself. I think that was basically it. He just looks like a game show host. You know, he was fine.
Yeah.
And if this happened 10 years ago, no one would have said anything. But, you know, now they were auditioning all these other types of people, which was stupid.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like,
wait, so can we talk? So I, sorry to cut you off, but like, so we mentioned Louis C.K. So did you hear about that? Where he like did his, we talked about it. Like he did Madison Square Garden or something, but
yeah.
Did you hear anything about it? I read like an article about they were,
no, I know a comic who opened.
Was that that trans?
Yeah. Jay McBride. She's funny. Very funny.
You know her?
Yeah.
You
do. Very nice. Oh. Yeah.
So, I saw an article about her. Yeah. Do you think so? He did that purposely? I mean,
well, you know, you probably think that he wants to try to show his sensitivity. But, you know, he gets a lot of the one thing about him, he does give these some of these newer comics a chance. You know, they're all good, though. I mean, it's not like they're not good. Like, you know, I think he's friends with like Joe List, and Joe List opens for him a lot. And Joe List is a great comic. I mean, he's not going to put a shitty comic up there in front of 5,000
people. Yeah, yeah. But it definitely seemed like... I don't know. What do you... I mean, I guess we talked about like people are still kind of mad about... Well, but I guess it's kind of like...
Well, I think that there's... I've known some people who've turned him down. And...
oh, really?
Yeah. I won't say who, but like a few comics because this person... These, you know, they feel like it might affect their standing with their own audience and it's not worth the risk, you know?
Yeah.
So, but if you're more of an up and comer, it's probably worth it. I mean, at this point, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's,
I mean, I feel like people got to let it go after a while. I would imagine.
Yeah. I think what it is like, I guess we talk like, he's just, you know, he has his followers and fans and they're going to be with him no matter what. He's just not going to be mainstream like he was, you know what I mean? That's really the only change is that, but it is amazing. Even with this, he like still is like kind of unstoppable. You know what I mean? He just like,
yeah. Well, I think the big issue with him was that a lot of his fan base were like kind of the woke hipster types and they turned on him pretty quickly. And I've heard that he was mad about that. So he did definitely take a hit.
I think he also, what happened to him is that he just became too famous. Like, I know he wanted to become big and, you know, successful, but he became so big that it was like.
But I think now some of these guys now who are huge will have less of an issue. Like Joe Rogan. Like Joe Rogan, if anything came out about him, unless he like murdered somebody, I don't think those fans are so.
Yeah.
They're kind of an anti-woke culture and stuff. So they wouldn't drop him at all. He wouldn't miss a beat.
Nah,
I think he's a very hard person to cancel. And a lot of those guys who are like him, because those fans are different. Those fans are there because they feel alienated and they want to, you know.
You also feel like because of all this, with all the factions and sects and different, you know, fans of different things, even with like, it's very indicative of like the, you know, like the MAGA people where like there is no like main, what is the mainstream anymore? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just kind of like, there's no like one thing. And then it's like, and with cancel culture, it was like, we were still kind of operating from that template of like, oh, now they're done. I'm feeling like the only person that like completely is never going to come back is this Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
But because he's at the mercy of like movies, you know what I mean? And TV, he can't do anything outside of, I guess if you're like an actor and that's all you have or music or you can't, you don't have any other outlet, but.
No, but I heard recently someone put him in some independent movie. I mean, that's the thing.
I know. So it's kind of like at this point, like the cancel culture and everything, it's just kind of like, yeah, but there's so many different outlets like. How can you know what I mean? There is no one mainstream thing anymore. Like it's just, it's a hard thing to like to adjust to. I mean, because it was so different. Like for us, it was like there was just like three things, you know, and that was it. There was like three things a year, and everyone was kind of on the same page.
Yeah, and I also think that you know, I mean, I tell comics this all the time. I'm like the days of. This being the Chappelle or the Seinfeld, I don't know if that's ever going to happen again. The one enormous comic that everybody knows and likes. I don't think that's possible anymore.
I mean, it is on a certain level, but not for very long. Like there's just too much out there. There's too much to choose for. Everyone has so many fucking.
Well, if you think choices. Of one of the biggest comics in the last 10 years, Kevin Hart, right?
Yeah.
Really big. but I don't know how big he is in the white culture. I think people may, he's, when he started doing movies, they were more aware of him, but he was like enormous for a long time where I feel like a lot of white people, they just didn't care. It's like John Mulaney too.
Yeah.
John Mulaney's enormous. But if you ask black people about him, I would say a lot of them probably don't know or care about him.
I mean,
you know?
Those are examples of like, they're pretty well known.
Right.
But still, it's not, they're not the only ones. You know what I mean?
But they're not household. I mean, maybe Kevin Hart's close to that.
Yeah.
But a household name. Household name.
I think so. He's pretty big. He's about as big as you get, I'd say, in the last because of the movies. 10 years.
Because of the movies.
Yeah. It's usually those things that make them, that you know, make you more well known, and well, it's like a. I mean, he's the epitome of the, you know, the crossover thing of like,
right,
where they're all, you know, a lot of people are trying, a lot of comedians.
Well, I'll give you an example
of another audience,
like Cat Williams. That guy was really big, still is, but I'm telling you, he never made it big in movies. So he was. You could ask a lot of.
Was he even like in a movie? He was, but like Soul Plane.
Yeah, small parts. But I think if you ask a lot of white people who he is, I do that.
Yeah, is he even doing anything? He must do stand. He kind of like went nuts or something, didn't he? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's just touring and stuff, you know.
Yeah, so that's what, I don't know. I'm sure he makes like a lot of money. You know, he probably makes like over a
million. Yeah, and some of these guys don't need to be. I'm just talking about the household name. The
yeah,
thing,
I don't know. John Mulaney, I think, is up there.
He is. You know? But you're talking about all generations. I mean, I think now he's gotten the last year or two, he's gotten a lot more exposure. So I think he's probably almost at like Seinfeld level, but I don't know. I don't really know. You ask someone who's 60 or 70, who John Mulaney is.
Yeah. And if you go away for a little bit, it's like now, you know, a year, I feel like there's always that adage that in showbiz a year was like 10 years, but I think now it's even more so. I think that's the struggle now with certain people who are really successful, is it's like, if you haven't had something big in like a year or two, it's just kind of like, well, they're done. You know what I mean? It's just like Amy Schumer. I remember when she was just like, she was one of the biggest breakout people of the last 10 years. And
yeah. I think with women, though, it's different because a lot of them just kind of stop to start a family and stuff. And I think
I guess that's what she did. But she kind of just went away for, you know, she became so big and then everyone just turned on her really fast. Did you remember that?
They did. I mean, it was definitely. But I also think that she seemed like that's she was like, I'm going to do the mom thing now.
I think so. Yeah.
It happens with, female actors a lot. Like, you don't think about it as a male actor, but like. Like I was thinking about the other day, Maya Rudolph, you know her?
I think I'm familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. She's coming.
She's married
back
to that guy, right?
Yeah. Or the guy who directed Boogie Nights. And she was like, she's kind of coming back and doing a lot now, you know? But she was big, huge on Saturday Night Live. You thought she was going to have a big movie career. And then she just kind of dropped out for like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Because if you read that, she had like a ton of kids. And so she was probably raising her kids. And now they're old enough or whatever. So she's coming back.
Yeah.
But I think that's sometimes that happens a lot with like female actors or comedians. They just, you know.
I think that's true. And also like, you know, Deborah Winger, I was just reading something because she's on like a new thing now with like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And she was like, you know, really, she was a really big up and coming actress in the 80s, like Terms of Endearment, Officer and a Gentleman. And she sort of like, I think she got a, you know, and who knows? I think it's like she got a bad rap for being hard to work with. But I don't know. I think it's like, you know, for that interview with Janine Garofalo that I did, that I put on here, like she says, like she got a rep of being difficult to work with because she would voice her opinion about something like, I don't like this. Let's like fix it. And then people were like, she's difficult. And Deborah Winger
Because women weren't supposed to say anything, really.
Right. And I read this. I didn't know this. You know, she was supposed to be the lead in A League of Their Own, the Penny Marshall movie.
Oh, yeah.
And she pulled out of it when Madonna got cast because she said it was like turned it into like a fluffy like Elvis movie or something.
Right. She was wrong on that part though.
She even still was like, yeah, it wasn't good. I mean, she was like, yeah, I mean, it's fine, but it's not that great. But I, you know, but that's an example of, all right, dude, but come on. I mean, like just, I don't know, like Tom Hanks was in it, you know, it's like, it was a good movie. Like,
well, you know, it's funny with someone like Deborah Winger. I'm not sure what her role is on this new show, but I can guarantee it's some sort of grandmotherly type. Yeah. You know, like when these women, it's like they'll be the love interest and then they'll leave for a couple of years and then they come back and they'll play the grandma.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think like Sally Field.
Right. Well, Gina Davis said, oh, yeah, like 3 years before, what was it, like 6 years before that, Tom Hanks and her were like love interest in the punchline. And then she's his mom. 6 years later.
You see why actresses like, get annoyed when you hit 40, you're like fucking
Gina
you
know. Davis in an interview said that at 40 the phone just stopped ringing, and I mean she had won an Oscar. I mean, it's insane. It's weird when you hear these stories of it happening to, like, you just assume these people have it made, but it must be really hard because they don't, you know. And especially for women, it's, you know, it's hard. They,
you know, I think it's been good for the over 40 women is TV coming back in the way, because now all these big TV, there's all these TV shows and whatever, and they love to get any, it doesn't matter how old the woman is. If they want an Oscar, they'll find a TV show for them. So it's gotten them work. Cause you see, like, what's that, Frankie and Johnny, you know, that show?
Oh yeah. Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin.
Yeah. What is that? Pretty Little Lies. With Nicole Kidman. Big Little Lies. So I think it's been a place where they're like, they're just so happy to get anyone famous and, you know, so it's been, I think, better for them. I think they get more work, you know.
And
now,
speaking of like, you know, aging, and these women always talk, well, everyone, but women especially, they'll say, like, once you're like 35 in Hollywood, it just gets really, you literally start becoming the mom. But I saw that movie by M. Night Shyamalan, Old.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that movie? So, like,
it looked good. I saw the plot.
It's a really good premise. But when I thought of it, you know, because I'm older now and like, I think about it a little more, and like the fact
people
that
people just,
like,
get old in 20 minutes or something. Is that the whole
thing? But the fact that that's a premise of a horror movie is just people being old. Like, it's like old. Oh! It's really weird. I think, you know, it is a good premise. It's kind of like not a great movie, but it's not a bad movie. But that's the premise, is like, they go to this beach and I don't know, they go to this resort and they're like, oh, there's this beach off the beaten path, and they, you know, direct them to it specifically and you can't leave it. And you start aging. I think it's 2 years every half hour or something.
Oh, wow.
So,
and they're like young, hot women and they turn old and stuff.
Well, one of them is like, yeah, it's basically it. That's a horror movie. Like, look at these hot women. They're, it's really, yeah, but it's, you know, odd. They had to recast in the middle of these women in the middle of the movie because they weren't.
It sounds like a great idea for a movie.
It does. And it's, it is, but it kind of gets like a little, it's one of those movies where like, oh, this is a really good premise. And then you're like, okay, they're not really doing much with it.
Because it's M. Night Shyamalan.
Well, you know, but it's based on like a novel. So that was kind of like, that sounded promising because he didn't come up with it.
Right. But there's no twist. Is there a twist?
There is. There kind of is. I mean, yeah, you kind of find out what's going on at the way end.
So what happens? Let's spoil.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah. I don't want to see.
All right. Well, spoiler for anyone listening for Old. So what happens is everyone like dies because they get so old. Yeah. And then there's like the two left are like this kid who was like 8 and he's like 50 now.
Right.
And this girl who's like 50 something. And I guess they were the kids. And when they were playing at the resort, what happens is at the resort, the heads of the resort were like, hey, you know, you should go to this beach. Like, they told all these people to go to this beach specifically. And then there's like this little kid that the little kid at the beginning meets on at the pool or something. He's like, I think he's just he's like the son of the resort owner.
Right.
And they do these like code things, you know what I mean? Like that, you know, he'll give them like something to decode.
Okay.
You know, like this means this letter.
This already sounds fucking bad.
I'm not explaining it well. And then
no,
like,
it's
M.
Night Shyamalan, so I'm assuming it's just bad.
Well, it's like the code at the beginning is like, he's like, here, this means, you know, the letter A, and this means, you know, kind of like those codes you get like from like, you know, when you were a kid. I don't know. I'm not explaining it. So then at the end, he's like 50. He finds the kid had given him another thing to decode. And when he decodes it, it says, my uncle does not like the coral. And the uncle is the guy, the resort owner. And so they look and there's coral out in the water and they swim out to it. And basically it's like the coral is how you get out. from it because you can't get out. Because if you try to like get out through the, just through the water, if you swim out or you go like through the rocks, like you pass out. So okay. The coral is, I guess, protects you from whatever the island, the power of the island is. And so they get out and then they get back. And it turns out that what it is that, I mean, it is kind of a weird ending. So that
it's not a good premise. He fucked it up again.
Well, so like they like basically they find people online who have like certain medical problems. Yeah. Like diabetes or like blood clotting or something, and they take them to this island and they give them drugs before they go there to like test the drugs on them to see how they affect them, because they found this island where someone will live their whole life in a day. So instead of having to like test drugs over like in a complete lifetime, they can like figure out what drugs work to help people in a day. So it's kind of like that whole thing, like the ends justify the means. They're doing it, they're sacrificing people, but to like save like millions of other people.
Yeah, this is a stupid fucking plot.
So it is kind of like a weird. So yeah, I feel like the ending was kind of convoluted. Like you can tell he kind of shoehorned an explanation into it, you know, because I don't think in the book, I don't think they give you that concrete of an ending.
I think it's his problem with his fucking movies. He's just, you know, I don't know.
So what do you, I was thinking about this recently. So like, why won't he go away? I guess because his movies make money.
They do. I've talked about this before on the podcast that his movies make money, and maybe not in this country, but around the world they do. And he's made a lot, you know, first couple were good. And then
which ones of his did you like?
Not the one where the trees were fucking attacking people. Wasn't that one of them?
Yeah, that's The Happening. I didn't see that.
Mark, yeah.
That looks like shit. That's apparently like one of the worst ones.
There was one that was actually not bad. So after a while, they were like, you're not a good director. So what we're going to do is we're going to take your ideas and just turn them into movies.
Without him directing it?
Yeah, there was a movie called Devil that was out a few years ago.
Was that good?
It was pretty good.
The Elevator?
Yeah, The Elevator. It's just very, it's like a Twilight Zone episode. But it was very short, which they should be because these ideas. And it was decent. Didn't get the best review. I thought it was pretty good, but it was like it pretty much made sense. You know, a lot of his movies kind of just go into weird places.
Well, you know? The first, you know, I think he painted himself into a corner because the first one was such a revelation. Like The Sixth Sense was so good and the twist was so big that it was like every movie after that, he felt like he had to outdo the last twist. So it's one of those things you can tell his career is like he had this huge success and he's just been chasing that first thing his entire career. And it's kind of like, I think that happens a lot with people who are really successful early on. Like Eminem said in an interview, he's been chasing the Marshall Mathers LP ever since that came out.
Right.
So like Unbreakable was good.
Yeah. But there are guys who are like, you know, you look like Hitchcock or Steven Spielberg. I mean, they started their careers off with some great movies and then they were able to kind of keep it going for a while. I mean, eventually you trail off, but I don't know. I just think his movies suck.
I think they kind of had like Spielberg was, he doesn't really write a lot of his stuff. You know what I mean?
No, but I think the director, I think, you know, has a lot of say in how the movie is put together.
Yeah, I mean, Old was like a very like, yeah, this is all right. Like it was like fine. It wasn't like horrible and it wasn't like mind blowing. I think he kind of got lucky with like a really good premise. So like it was kind of hard to completely fuck up that premise. So
it's like I was reading about Spielberg was offered the Harry Potter series direct. And he was basically like, look, anyone can direct this. Like this will be huge. He's like, you know, if I do it, it's gonna be a monster. But I don't really need to do this. Like, so there's certain movies like that where they're, you know, it's just if you fuck it up. There's certain movies where they've actually fucked them up, or the book is so good and they fuck up the movie. But usually that doesn't happen. If something's so great, you know, you can just get anyone to do it.
This is another example of how everything's changed. Remember, I just rewatched Bonfire of the Vanities.
Yeah, that one fucked up.
Well, so that one, you know, you remember what a big debacle that was? Mm-hmm. How like it was like the hugest tragedy in the world for like 2 years because the book was so beloved. And then the movie was like, everyone was like, this is the worst thing that's ever been made. And they ruined the book. But like the fact that like that was like news for years, it like ruined people's careers for a while. Now it's like that would never happen again. It wouldn't be like, you'd be like, oh yeah, that was bad. All right.
Next. I think it was also now, if you look at the book, did you ever read the book, The Bonfires of
Venice? I read it after I saw the movie.
It's a great book, but the thing in the book is every character is basically awful. Like they're all awful. And in the movie at the time, this was before the hero, you know, like later on where heroes could be like assholes and stuff like that. It was like, you needed one good guy. So they wanted to make Tom Hanks.
That's why Tom Hanks was in it.
Yeah. He was miscast in that movie because, you know, he's just too likable and stuff. So they're like,
I know. Yeah. But I mean, they always say, but who else could have done it at that point? I don't know. Like,
I don't know. I think that was a good thing where you had these heroes with, you know, started with like the Sopranos maybe where the hero, you rooted for guys, but they were awful people. And I guess that started with that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I think if people weren't ready for that, I don't think.
No, I think that's why Sopranos was a big game changer.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of it lately, by the way.
Yeah. So I think like they just kind of, but it's funny because I remember it was like huge news for like years. This was like when that was that time when movies had become like these, like the biggest thing in our culture. Do you remember that? It was like, not like that anymore.
Yeah, that was like someone wrote a book about how fucked up the movie was. And
The Devil's Candy.
Yeah, and that book was like famous.
Yeah, because she had been given like carte blanche. Brian De Palma led her everywhere during the production.
Oh, yeah. But I could see them making a movie of that book one day.
They should. They should do that. That sounds like a really good idea. I wonder if they're going to think about doing that.
Well, they've done this so many times before, all these things about Citizen Kane and stuff where it's like a movie about the making of a movie.
Right. They've done, I just like, wonder if anyone would care anymore at this point, you know what I mean? Like,
I think a good director would do a good job with it.
Yeah, I would care. I feel like it's a movie like I would love, and then
I'd like actually like that.
Yeah, totally. And I just rewatched that movie, Bonfire of the Venice, and like I was doing a lot of research about it at the time. And like, it was just like an unwinnable situation. Yeah. That just like, there's no way they could have. And also, you know, it was that thing, like it was very New York centric and like very, you know, it's exactly what all this, you know, MAGA shit is, where it's like, they kind of were making entertainment for, they think everyone's like a New York intellectual and like people are just like, what is this shit? I don't want to see like a movie about New York and how they're all rich and pricks, you know, like,
yeah, maybe it shouldn't have been a movie because, I think people are a little more New York centric now because all these TV shows are kind of based in New York or have characters, but yeah, maybe at the time it was very New York centric. I mean, one of the characters was basically based on Al Sharpton, you know?
Right. It was very, yeah. So it seemed very like masturbatory, like the story, you know, kind of like everyone's going to love this. And I think most people are like, fuck New York. Like, you guys seem like pricks. Like, cause that is the attitude. It's very like, we're all smart and.
Yeah.
And sophisticated, but anyway,
when you're from New York and you go to another city, you're like, yeah, that's kind of right.
Yeah, I mean, even though you go, you know, you just go to a, you know, movie at Union Square, and you're like, well, not everyone's smart.
No, I mean, but
well, if you walk down the street, yeah, what
you think New York's better than Florida?
I don't know. Probably. Even though like there's horrible people here too. You know what I mean?
No, but I'm just as a group.
Yeah. No, they're bad. The people there are like bad. So everyone listening in Florida, I hate you. No, Florida's nice though. You know what I mean?
They're nice. They just have a horrible governor who doesn't care about human life and wants to.
So what's
going
on now? They have like, they're like back to COVID or something.
Oh, it's horrible over there. I mean,
hasn't it always been?
No, it's just this. And this guy's just making it worse, DeSantis, because he's telling everyone they shouldn't wear masks. And he's suing people if they tell people to wear masks. I'm like, dude. And there's it's like they said like one out of every four COVID cases is in Florida. And the fact that this is not even over again is what you still.
I know. I don't know. So is it coming back or what? I don't.
Yeah, it's coming back. Wait, New York. New York's going to have
kind of like the McRib. Like, it's coming back, and not everyone's thrilled about it.
No, I mean, it's gonna go on,
and it'll kill you. Yeah. And it'll probably kill you.
McRib will.
And yeah, exactly. All right. So I guess, is there anything else you want to talk about? We should probably wrap this up.
Yeah, we'll wrap this up. It's a good episode.
Do you want to play? All right. So, you know, we have some really good episodes coming up. I've done some interviews with some, you know, big celebrities.
Yeah. Now, I heard something. I don't know if this is true, but I heard that you interviewed Nicolas Cage. I don't know how you got that interview. That was a big get.
What?
That was a big get.
I know. I knew someone years ago that kind of knew him. So it's not a very long interview, and he seemed like in a kind of a bad mood, but if you want to play like a clip of it.
I'm going to play a clip. It's
very
a minute,
short, but
okay, I'll play it.
You can see
clip.
He's very intense at times, and he kind of is intimidating, but I asked him some really important questions.
So yeah, this is big.
Yeah, here's just a snippet.
Welcome to another episode of the Celebrity Interview Show.
Hello?
Hey, is this Nicolas Cage? I'm sorry I didn't call earlier, but I actually burned my hand.
How did it get burned?
I don't know. I just was like cooking something. I understand you have some daughters. What would you say to them right now?
You bitches!
What?
You bitches!
Wow, he's angry there. Holy crap.
Yeah, I think I caught him. It was a bad morning. I think I heard he'd been out late. I also heard he kind of has a bad relationship with his daughters, so they told me not to bring it up. But.
Well, he's in some. I saw an ad for him in a new movie that's also like a John Wick knockoff, where he like,
is it Pig? No.
Pig. Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. Not only that, I was gonna watch it because it got like a 97 on Rotten Tomatoes, which is like, I think that's all his movies combined got a 97.
Yeah.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. That's like. So did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
What's it about? Is it really has like a pet pig or something?
I think it's from what I read, it's like a John Wick with a pig.
Perfect.
Still better than Ghost Rider.
Yeah. Yeah. He's another fucking like miss. Like what happened? I mean,
well, it's because he went broke and he had a do every movie ever.
But even
made.
before he went broke, how do they go broke? What are they doing?
Well, he was like buying castles and stuff. You know, that was his whole thing. Like, he was spending way too much money.
I guess he just thought it was never going to end. And it seemed like it wasn't for, I mean, that guy's been in like 100 movies.
I mean, he was, you know.
And he's like, he just kind of became like a caricature of, you know what I mean? Like, remember he was thought of as like this premier actor, like he was going to be like the actor of his generation.
Yeah. Well, he was like a method actor, you know, and that he came from that school and, you know, people, but he was for a long time. He was, you know, considered, and then he started getting into action movies. And then, you know, I think that's first they were good. And then he just would do any others, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this.
Guys, I'm gonna jump in here. How is this possible? I'm looking at two identical Nick Cages.
Get in the cage.
Well, Seth, I can explain. Calm down!
I'm calm.
Okay, as everyone knows, my dream as an actor is to appear in every film ever released.
However, is hilarious.
That was really... That's a good impression, actually.
It is. It's really... The visual is really funny because he looks nothing like him. He does his like forehead is like huge. Yeah, Nicolas Cage is like so weird. He comments on it on that. He says something like, you know, my hairline moves up and down my head. Cause he always has like, you can tell it's a bad movie how bad his toupee is. Cause he always has like some weird toupee. And if he's not, that's a big sign, like if someone's trying to make a serious movie, is if they're not wearing a toupee. Like Bruce Willis, you can always tell when he's like, okay, this is a movie that I want people to think I'm good in because I'm not going to wear a rug. Mm-hmm. And he did, like, Nicolas Cage would do that a lot. Adaptation was one where he just kind of, like, didn't have a toupee on.
Oh, yeah. That was a good...
He did not handle losing his hair well, Nicolas Cage. Must be, but that must be hard because, like, he became a star pretty big young and he was losing his hair bad young. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, I mean, a lot of people go bald young, you know?
I know, but it's like, it's got to be rough because it was like right at the beginning of his career. And like, I mean, whatever. I don't really have much, I don't really give a shit, but he, it's just his hair started to look weird from like day one, from like when he was like 25 on.
Right.
This is the most relevant topic. But anyway, watch out for my full interview with him.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
It's going to be great. All right. So
go ahead. Give the final whatever.
Everyone, thanks for listening. LA2B, Last Exit to Brooklyn. Please rate and review this podcast. Join our Patreon. Also, we're sponsored by Silk City Hot Sauce. If you go to silkcityhotsauce.com and you use the promo code Brooklyn, you get 15% off on any of their products. And the hot sauce is great. It's hot.
It's very hot.
Saucy. It is really good. He sent me a bunch. There's like 9 different flavors.
Nice.
Also, there's an offshoot of this we've been doing, Plot Smokers. Please listen to that. If you're subscribed, you'll get it automatically. But it's the premise, if you don't know, is I have a guest on, they get high, and then try to talk about a movie and answer trivia.
It's very funny. You should listen.
Yeah, I don't know if you like Gordy has done it. Gordy McNiff has done it a couple of times. Yeah. He's like the ultimate. I think I just have to keep doing it with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't
think hilarious.
I don't think he could explain a movie not high.
He's really funny. Like he gets high a lot anyway, but yeah, I think the last one he was really high. He can't stop laughing.
I gotta listen to that.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. All right, we'll see you next time. Thanks.
All right, sounds cool.